For last some weeks we have been studying this crest jewel of Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, which is considered as the essence of all Vedanta knowledge. In fact, Lord himself calls it Shastra, that this is the scripture. What is meant is that the essence or the cardinal truths of all the scriptures or the Vedas, they are condensedly presented in this chapter. And it deals with the central theme of Vedanta, to discover our true self. The infinite dimension of ourselves. We consider ourselves to be a very finite little being and are looking for infinite, like infinite happiness, infinite power, infinite knowledge and so forth. All we look for is infinite. And just look at what we dream of, means what we dream as daydreamers. That we are looking at something that cannot be barricaded or reduced to something finite. Always we want to transcend the limitations of the finite around us. And why so? Because our true self is infinite. And that dimension has been presented in this 15th chapter, that Purusha, therefore it is called Purushottama Yoga, to discover the best indweller. Best indweller means we have an idea of indweller, I am so and so, which is very limited. I am 5 feet tall and I weigh 120 pounds, or I am educated so and so, my profession is such and such, these are my parents, this is my these are my siblings and my spouse and my children and so forth. This is what our limited understanding of the indweller is. We all are aware of the indweller, a non-corporeal indweller, but yet somehow we find it caged in this body. We know that it is really incorporeal, because we also say that it is my body. So I am separate from body, is it not? When we use this term, my body, and like my car, you are not your car. The car gets changed and you can travel in somebody else's car too. You can rent a car too. It is, all this is possible. So also with the body, my body is an association. It is not I, but something that belongs to me. So that shows that our awareness about the self is not corporeal. There is something that transcends body, transcends this heap of flesh and blood. But yet we feel that we are caged in it. And we cannot go out of it. And this is where Bhagavad Gita is bringing this wonderful message, that you are truly infinite. You are not this little being. And it is shown that one therefore goes from one body to another body. The indweller is not limited by a body. Body comes and goes. The indweller remains. And That is mentioned in the last verse that we saw, that how do we not see it? It is told that you can see it if you have the right means with you. We considered at that time the example of yogurt. There are worms in yogurt, but normally with our normal eyes we look at it. Do we see worms in yogurt? Then we won't be able to eat it, you see. And we don't see it. But you put microscope, you put it under microscope, and you will see all of them there in the yogurt. So, they are there, not that they just step in when you put microscope to your eyes. They are there, but you don't see it in the absence of the right tool, the right instrument. So also, this self can be perceived when we acquire the right instrument. Our senses, which only look outside, cannot perceive the self. And so, one has to acquire the right instruments, and also stop going out from the external instruments. And that was told that, look, pasyanti jnana chakshushah, that vimudha nanu pasyanti, that those who are deluded in the external perception, they will not be able to perceive this inner self. You have to obtain special eyes, and that has the inner vision, and that is called the jnana chakshu, the eye of knowledge, eye of ignorance and eye of knowledge. Eye of ignorance makes us see that which is fleeting as real, permanent. That which keeps on changing, and this eye of ignorance makes us feel that is kind of permanent. This body is kind of permanent. Then we think of all the attachments of this body as permanent. That my husband, my wife, my children, my money and so forth, and we think of it as permanent. But it is all really fleeting. It is only the ignorance that makes us think that they are permanent. As soon as we analyze, our understanding changes. So therefore, we have to learn to change this understanding. Vimudha means deluded will have that understanding which is not concurrent with the truth. We have to change our understanding so that it matches the truth. That is the job of what is called a spiritual aspirant, to change the awareness from sticking to unreal. It should change to sticking to the real. I had told sometimes back the story of a monkey. That monkey saw a lady trying to take out these little stones from a basket of rice. There are sometimes little stones inside, so you cannot cook like that. So she was trying to take them out. And then the monkey saw that, and the monkey wanted the rice. So approached this lady, and they told that, oh, it seems you are finding it difficult to exactly pick those stones. So, I can help you, the lady said. Yes, dear, I am getting old. My eyes don't see well these days. So I am finding it really tough locate to exactly see those little stones. And the monkey said, "Don't worry, this is a special spect made for that. These glasses are for that purpose. Put on these glasses and then you will see all clear, the stones and the rice all will be seen clear, separate, and you will do the job very well. But you have to, you know, give and take is there. I am giving you this, so you should do some favor to me, and that shouldn't be costing you anything." "Well, dear, you are doing such wonderful service to me, I will be happy to do something for you." "Well, auntie, you just give me those paper, the stones that you are anyway going to throw. Can I have those stones?" "Sure, no problem. Take them all." And then the lady puts that on and very clearly sees the stones and the rice separate. And only problem was, the rice was looking as stone and stones was looking as rice. So she threw away all the rice, the monkey took it, very well cleaned rice, and the lady was left with stones. So that is the story of our life, you know. Why do we end up in that kind of frustration? Is this, that our eyes are deluded. We have put on that kind of spect, that where the unreal appears to be real. And that is how Patanjali describes in his aphorisms, that how avidya or ignorance functions in our life, that whatever is impermanent appears to be permanent. Whatever is suffering appears to be pleasures. Whatever is not self appears to be self, and so forth. Just inverted vision. That which is not really mine appears to be mine, and so forth. It is God alone is really ours, but that doesn't appear to be ours. That is sitting somewhere far in the skies, if at all exists, and other things which are, well, physically speaking, just other heaps of flesh and blood, they appear to be mine, you know, my wife, my husband, my so and so, they appear to be mine. It is all because of this false perception. And then, therefore, Lord says, unless you change your false perception, remove those deluding specks, and you will see in the light of knowledge that truth I am talking to you about. How will you know that that is the truth? Because it won't change, first of all. Secondly, that will bring you ultimate satisfaction in life. All that you were looking for in life, you will actually receive it. And that is the only way of getting it. That as it is told by scriptures, you really have it. There is no question of not getting it. It is, you already have it, but you are looking it elsewhere. And so you don't find it. When the eyes of knowledge appear, then you see it rise with you, and thus the search fruitfully ends. No more running about. So this is the efficacy of knowledge. Knowledge is therefore the highest priority that one should be seeking in life. To know, I should know the truth. I should know the truth. Do we not want to know the truth? Look, there is always the hidden urge to know the truth. All of us want really to know the truth. That is why and those detective stories and all become so popular. Why? Because something is hidden and we want to know it. And so we want to unravel all that mystery. It is, if there is no mystery, we don't want to, you know, we are not inclined to read that story or see that movie. There has to be some mystery around. And so, because human beings, they get propelled to automatically because of their desire to know, to find the hidden thing. So this is the biggest hidden thing. They self find it out. The greatest mystery. It is greatest mystery story that the Upanishads tell, that you go after it. You go after this real treasure hunt. It is not just reading the book, but you have to actually take it up. A real treasure hunt. These are all the treasure hunt stories are really telling us this, that how do they come that, well, somebody finds a map somewhere in the house and then is told it is right there, and then you have to dig, find that right location. Most of you must be remembering having read some stories in the early years of life, and even now many read it, just made more complicated, that's all, for the adult brains. So it is, you read those, the mind is working, you know, mind gets identified with that searching team, and then you start doing like that while reading the novel. So this is what we have to do, you know, join that search. Come on, I have to find out the real treasure. The treasure is hidden right in me, right here. The map is there. Now you have to read it properly and start working on it. So this working is called putting in the efforts. So Lord says that those who put in the efforts, they can do it, but not just by those who put in the efforts. They have to, that putting in the efforts has to have other counterpart, and that is not wasting energy in finding it where it is not. And we try to find this happiness in places where it is not. So we have to control that. And so Lord said, that was where we stopped last time, that yatanto api akritatmano nainam pasyanti achetasah. The one who makes efforts but then does not control the other propensities, then that person, unfortunately, in spite of the efforts, will not be able to get it. I gave the analogy that if you want to, say, fill a jar with water, you fill it, but if the jar has lot of holes, or even one hole, what happens? It will never get filled. All that you are pouring will go out. So that is what a sane person has to do. If you really are going to fill water in the jar, will you put in efforts? If there is a hole in it, the first effort, what will you do, Richard? Plug the hole, is it not?
Good idea.
Huh?
Yeah, good idea.
What?
Good idea.
Yeah, that's the best idea, you know, to first plug the hole and then start pouring the water. And then you can fill it. So therefore in our life too, there are so many holes through which the efforts get wasted. So those holes need to be plugged. That is called control. Control life has to be led. It sounds harsh to our ears because somehow that habit has been formed. Tendencies have been formed that we think that through these holes we will get pleasures. And they don't come. Only frustrations come. And therefore, it is important to plug in those holes and then fill in the water, that water of positive spiritual practice. And it is therefore Lord told this idea that put in efforts methodically, plugging in the hole and pouring in the right awareness in you. So then that right awareness will stay. Do we not see in this in our lives? We keep on pouring. Like, for example, we read Bhagavad Gita, we read scriptures, we listen to discourses, and so forth. And at that time it seems we are getting filled. Does that stay? It does not stay. Maybe 5 minutes. And then, if we are lucky, I mean, it is. And then, unfortunately, it all just gets drained out. So, Lord, who is our real supporter, a very kind-hearted teacher, sees our efforts that we are pouring this knowledge in us, but it doesn't stay, it gets drained out. And so tells us, my dear, don't you see that you need to plug in that hole? If you don't, what will happen? All your efforts, in spite of putting in very sincere efforts, your foolishness is going to cost you a lot. Something that you must pay attention to right in the beginning. A very important thought has been presented. And now the coming 4 verses, they describe that it is not something that we can be unconcerned about. Shankaracharya has given a very beautiful introductory commentary to these 4 verses that are going to come. That this self, this reality, is the illuminator of everything, has been told. It has also been told that nothing else can illuminate it, because it is the illuminator of all, and nothing else can illuminate it. It is also told that it is the indweller, and therefore beyond all the senses. But yet the senses work only on the foundation of that. Senses or the mind cannot get it, but they cannot function without any of the without this reality supporting them. And therefore it is transcendent, no doubt. It is beyond, but yet it is pervading all of us. It is our true self. And so it is all-pervading and transcendent, both the transcendent and immanent. Sometimes it is beyond senses and mind gives us an idea. It is the psychology, friends. That our immediately we imagine, so that our mind and body and all is here, and beyond that somewhere is the reality and the self. It is something like that person's house is beyond the mountain. So here is the mountain, here I am on this side of the mountain, and on the other side there is the house of my friend. So, we get an idea that the reality is beyond the senses and mind, like as if the senses and mind is like a mountain, we have to climb that, and then beyond that we will find the reality, and the world and all that will remain on this side, and God will be with me, the world will remain on this side. That is not the case. This world is pervaded in and through with the Lord. Ocean is beyond the waves, not in the sense, so then you take out all the waves, keep them somewhere, and then you get the ocean. That is not the case. The ocean appears as these illusory waves. So therefore, all that we see is really in and through, pervaded with that truth. That is being described here, that whatever you are seeing, that is that. So the 12th verse begins with that idea.
Yadadityagatam tejo jagad bhasayate khilam yachandramasi yachagnam tat tejo vidhimamakam.
The light in the sun which illumines the world, and that in the moon and the fire, know that light to be mine. It is our inner light, Lord's light, that illumines all sun, moon and everything. Whatever light you perceive, the light of the sun, think that it is really the light of the Lord. The light that we are getting from all these lamps, electric lights, all that is really lit by the Lord. It is the light of Lord that is coming to us. So it is not that, well, we can then let Lord be sitting there. Right now I am not concerned about it. Well, then you don't have even the world. The world depends on God. The God doesn't depend on world. But the world depends on God. And therefore, we cannot just say, well, I am not interested. Many have got this idea that a spiritual search also is a matter of choice. Like in the academic field, we have different streams of learning. That, well, somebody goes to learn medical science, somebody goes to learn, economics. And if you don't are not interested in learning economics, you can skip it. Everybody cannot be learning everything anyway. So it is matter of choice what you like, what you don't like. But that is not the case when we are thinking of spiritual knowledge, because it is knowledge of really who I am. And so it concerns all of us. It is that is what is being pointed out, that our very existence depends on it. Our that getting happiness, getting fulfillment in life depends on this knowledge, and therefore each of us has to take recourse to it. There is no option. So this is being described here. Then Lord further illustrates it.
Gama vishyacha bhutani dharayamyamojasa Pushnami chaushadhi sarva somo bhutvarasatmakah.
From the light of sun and all, now is Lord comes to the earth, that entering the earth with my energy, I support the beings and I nourish all the herbs, becoming the watery moon. That I support the all these plants and everything. Here the moon is a literal translation, no doubt, but here moon doesn't mean the moon that we see in the skies, but it is the deity of water. So the water is needed for life. So Lord becomes the water to support the plants and the animals and everything that is here. So Lord says that, well, those celestial bodies as well as this earth and all the beings on the earth, they are really my expressions. I support them. They are standing because of my support. See that I am penetrating in and through them. And then next verse, the 14th, it is, the truth is brought further closer. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritah Pranapana Samayuktah Pachamyannam Chaturvidham. Residing in the bodies of beings, right, with us, now the truth is brought home. Residing in the bodies of beings as the digestive fire, Vaishvanara, and united with prana and apana, breaths, I digest the four kinds of food. The four kinds of food, I'll tell about it, but the important thing is that even our metabolic functions, they all happen, respiratory functions, metabolic functions, all become really possible by God. God is entering in all these, and thus we digest the food. We really do not know, even after lot of studies, that how actually the food that we put in mouth, who decides what part becomes what? We are, say, for example, drinking a Coke, shouldn't drink, but suppose it is, drinking a Coke and eating a burrito and then topping it with ice cream and so forth. Now, which exactly particle of it is becoming the part of this tissue and that tissue, what is becoming what? Even the most advanced medical science does not have much idea of it. It is all controlled from a different position altogether. When we are putting in the food, we don't know really what is it going, it is doing there. It all goes together. Therefore, sometimes it is told that, well, you put the dressing on the salad and then eat that. Don't, what if you eat salad separately and dressing separately? It will get all mixed anyway in the stomach. It is, well, yes, but even if you eat them together, something separates everything, puts the right thing in the right spot. See the tremendous programming that has gone into it. We do not have much idea about it. It is the very subtle science, and that function in the science of Sankhya and Vedanta is called Vaishvanara. That the food gets digested through this Vaishvanara. And so, therefore, this verse is recited by many at the time of eating. That Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam De, because when you eat, at least invoke that so that it will get digested properly. So as grace, this verse is recited by many. Many of course recite the whole 15th chapter before taking the food. So Yes, I have seen it is at many of our centers also. They sit for taking food and first they recite this chapter, whole chapter 15, and then they take the food. This particular verse is connected with this, that well, whatever you eat, now it gets properly separated, and all different ingredients are put into different places through a very complicated system. Some part of it is understood by science, but still most of it is not understood. So therefore Lord says, look, you eat, you see you are eating, but what happens to food? Do you know much anything about it? Who does all that? I do it. This breathing, going in, coming out, who makes these functions of lungs take place? We have a very wrong, because of ignorance, as I told, like that that old lady was seeing the rice as stone and stone as rice. So we put the things in an inverted way. We think that we are living because we are breathing. We are breathing and therefore we are living. That is our perception. That how do we live? Because we breathe and so we live. It is exactly opposite. The life is more primary. The lungs function because we live. And not that because the lungs function, we live. It is because we live that the lungs function. It is, this is an important thing to note, that all these things are controlled by the presence of this Self, the Divine. Let us remember the presence of God. The idea is to remember the presence of God in all these functions, in all these perceptions, right on the earth or in the skies. Then the fourth verse of this section brings this topic to conclusion, and it is a very important verse. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedeshcha sarvairahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. I am seated in the heart of all beings. From me are the memory and knowledge, as also their loss. I alone am to be known through all the Vedas. I am the originator of the Vedantic tradition, and I am also the knower of the Vedas. It is a verse that really compresses very beautifully lot of things. They have been told earlier in different verses, but here it is all brought together, that sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto, that I am seated in the hearts of all beings. Hearts means awareness, that consciousness, that we become conscious, and in each of these conscious perceptions that we have, each perception, it is Lord is seated inside that. Our awareness about I, well, it is God who is in that. And thus, see what's happening there. It is the sameness of all beings, that I here and I here and I there, they are not really separate. God is the common indwelling reality of all beings. It is the same I that is in me as well as on the mosquito that is biting me. There are not two different eyes. It is the mosquito that is biting me has the same eye as I have. The I as well as the neighbor who is tormenting me have the same I, not different. I and my mother-in-law with whom always I quarrel, then I have the same I, not different really. It is just as my two hands, you know. And do we not see that they have the same I, although they are opposite? They have opposite distinct orientations, fortunately for us. Otherwise it would have been difficult to function. If they were oriented in the same way, you see, then it would be very difficult to function, is it not? They are oriented in the opposite direction, but does it mean that they have to quarrel with each other? No. It is the misperception that makes us think that those which are opposite means they have to quarrel. Just as the two hands, although are oppositely oriented, we know that it is the same one being that is in both these hands. So also in the whole universe, in everything that we see, there is the same one God who is dwelling in as the soul of every being. It is like this hand, left hand is different from right hand, okay, but the same I is in both hands. There is absolutely no doubt about this, that nobody will think that there is one eye in the left hand and another eye in the right hand. No, there is the same eye in my eyes as well as in my nose, as well as in my mouth, as well as in my ears. Not that there are so many different beings sitting there. So also the eye in this body, I in that body, I in the body that I call this microphone, it is all same one, that same I, not different at all. When the sages realize this truth, as in Taittiriya Upanishad that sage exclaims that look, the I here, sayaschayam purushe yaschata vaditye sa ekah, that the being here and the being in the sun is a huge body. How huge, imagine, you know, hundreds of earths will be able to sit in the sun. It is so huge, and yet the I in the sun and the I here, they are identical. And thus we can see that the eye here and the eye of a bacteria that is on my skin, the eye is same in both these cases. What a great idea, friends. One has to imbibe this, that and then he says, Matta Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. From that, because that is the constant thing, that is the unchanging factor. What do we have? Smriti, the memory. Memory is, it requires continuation. Some common platform on which the past, the present, both are kept. Then only the word memory makes sense. You remember something in the past. Do you remember future? There is you may imagine future or you may predict future, but you can never remember future, because what happens that gets processed and kept on the platform where you have your awareness of presence too. You are present and on the same platform the experience that you had earlier, that is microprocessed and kept. So that oneness, that sameness has to be there for memory. And the same platform has to be there. And what provides this sameness? Lord says, because of me that is possible. There is no other thing that brings about the continuity. Do we not see this? Otherwise, where from there is that? Do you get the idea that I remember this, I saw this at that time? Memory, Lord says, matta smriti, and also knowledge is also function that is possible because of my presence. I know something. Now, what is happening there? It is again bringing various things on the same one platform. What brings about the oneness? So just see, for example, I know Anne sitting there. I see Anne sitting there. Now, how do I know this? This is a very simple thing. I know this. Now, how this knowledge comes? That is a separate piece. The knower is a separate piece. What brings that sameness, bringing it together on a same platform? What provides that platform? We don't think of this much. But Lord, here Bhagavad Gita is therefore a wonderful scripture to understand the process of education also. It is that one platform is God or the Self, where you put the different things as manifestations of that oneness, and thus the knowledge also is possible because of Lord. And then another very important factor, apohanam cha, erasing of the memory is also possible because there is Lord. Why is it necessary? Suppose, just think that if everything that you have been experiencing is stored in your conscious memory, there will be no space left. Even whatever little we remember, it causes so much problem. Imagine if we remember all that, it will be very difficult. That is why the memories of our past lives are not given to us. Imagine what havoc will that play. Actually, it does play, friends. When this gate opens without a proper spiritual awareness, I have seen one life just wrecked because somehow the past lives' memories started trickling in. And that person, a young lady, I knew her, and the life became a big mess for her. Couldn't really concentrate on anything, couldn't live, and soon really she died. Because of this, she could not even eat. She could not take care of her physical needs. It was very difficult. So, God has taken good care that this memory does not enter in this little brain of ours at this moment. Otherwise, it will shatter it. And so, apohanam cha. See, all your computers, all operating systems, all programs, provide a delete button, is it not? A delete. Imagine if that delete button had not been there, what would have happened? Just terrible something, you see. So, it is, and how that is done, who did it? Who brought not only memory, but getting rid of memory? Lord says, I did it. Our Sarvagatananji used to say that secret of happiness in old age is good health and bad memory. That is the secret of happy life in that the old age. That has bad memory is important part of it. It is. So Lord says this all happens because of me, and by all the books of knowledge, what is really to be known, Vedeshcha Sarvair Ahameva Vedyo. Really the object of knowledge is this self. We are really looking for this self. All other knowledge is really not worthy of calling knowledge also, because it keeps on changing. What we know today is not valid tomorrow. But the knowledge of the self is that which is always valid. And that is the real knowledge that will bring complete satisfaction in life. So that is the purpose of all the Vedas, Vedeshya, the scriptures, all the books of knowledge really are aiming at that. And he says further that I am the knower of the Vedas, and also I am the maker of the Vedas. Who made these Vedas? They came from me. Lord says the Vedas are told in our scriptures that how did they come? And they were just breathed out from Lord. Lord's breath. It just came out, you know, the Vedas came out of it, just to show that they are effortless expressions of the Lord. And I know all of them because I wrote them. Sometimes that once we were telling Sam, he is not here today, that his wife Dorothy gave a very good lecture, and then we tried to tell him, hey, she gave such a beautiful lecture. And he said, I know, I wrote it. So I would be knowing it anyway. So it is, you don't have to tell me. He was of course joking, but then that is, you know that it is. So all the knowledge is with the Lord. So, because he says, I wrote those, I know those Vedas, I know that knowledge there. So, this has been explained here to tell us the all-pervading nature of this divine. And now, the process of analysis of catching it is being told in the next few verses. The last 4-5 verses, they are devoted to that. We shall try to see that in the next class, and then for some time that will be the last class in this sequence. Not that the Friday lectures will not be there. The Friday lectures, and again on Bhagavad Gita, they will be continuing, but I will not be giving them after this next Friday for some time, because I have a trip planned to India. So, but the lectures, classes, they will go on. There are others who have taken up the illustrating different aspects of Bhagavad Gita, and so we shall have that. Any questions on today's topic? Okay, Charles.
One hand would not normally cut the other hand off, and when the teeth bite the tongue, it's usually an accident, yet one person may kill another person or oppress another person. So how do you have the same kind of harmony in the world that you have within the eye of the body?
First of all, when that perception comes, that person will not go and kill other people. And also it could be done. Like if you see that gangrene is set in one hand, then just to save the whole body, you will cut that off. So also a person who sees that the same self is in everyone, sees that some part of this is creating lot of problem to the whole existence, then that part will get amputated. But that is, there is no enmity about it. You don't have the enmity with the hand. There is no feeling of enmity. That is the important thing there. Yes, please.
Swamiji, you said about, you gave an example of that glass, you know, we have glass which does not see the reality. But when we born, you know, why God does not equip us with that glass to see the reality? Why He doesn't give us that glass, and then we just keep on trying to get that glass, you know? Is it not unnatural to do that?
Well, God has kept it, but we don't want it. That is the problem. We feel that these glasses are going to bring the results. We get attached to these wrong glasses, you know. The right glasses are there, but we don't look at them. We don't want to take them. And God has given that, but we don't want to take that.
Every child would not have a glass, and we put the glass on with our
thoughts. No, child has it. Child is not really is born then. There are so many hundreds and thousands of past lives,
sanskaras,
the impressions. You know. So our search concludes when we get the real glass. Otherwise, we keep on running from this life to next life in search of these little pleasures, and they create more and more void. So ultimately, we see that I made some big mistake. Probably it is these glasses, they are not right. And then you take the other glasses. And then that solves the problem. Yes, Richard?
A Zen master asked a question, why do you eat? And everybody went, oh my God. The woman who died, who couldn't reconcile the past lifetime, that might have been an honest choice. Was that truly a tragedy or an honest choice? Many people, I suspect, now, if they took the question, why do you eat seriously, wouldn't have a good answer. They wouldn't continue with their lives, particularly if they knew what they were doing.
Could be. I don't know. It is difficult to say. It would be a hypothetical answer.
You didn't sense what the woman was going through, and that she released something by not eating?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think so. But she couldn't. Not only just about eating, about anything else too. That even the process of the food after it goes in, it requires the digestive processes. They depend on the brain, you know, that all the... Now if the brain is busy with some past life's memory, then it won't function. So we think that our intestines and all, they will automatically digest. No, they function with the proper inputs from the brain. And that is why it is so difficult. No, when the brain doesn't function, the medicine also is difficult to be given. And the manager, the administrator is not there. So, that is probably the reason. I'm not sure really. Yes?
That's kids of like 3 years or 4 years old, they have memory of what's going around, but they lose it after a while. Is there a reason why it has been made like that? Why do we lose memory from
it? Yeah, it is that is true, because then that will probably be too much to incorporate in the adult life. That is why it is lost. It is, and not entirely lost. Some of it is kept. A major part of it is lost because it is too much of a burden for this brain to function normally if that much thing is kept. I get messages in my these emails that it refuses to function, and a message comes that their box is already full. Unless you remove some of them, your next functions will not be allowed. So that is why that removal process must be there. Otherwise, your adult life functions will not be able to proceed. Yes, please. Oh, four types of eating. That is a minor thing, really. The four types of eating, good that you ask. It is certain things that you chew them. Certain things you just lick that. It is certain other things you drink. And certain other things you just swallow. So these are the different types of foods that are chaturvidham, annam chaturvidham, the choshya, leha, charvya, and all that. That is, these are the Sanskrit words for it. That certain food that you drink, for example, you drink milk or water, you do not bite at it or don't lick at it, just you drink it. There are certain foods that you lick, like the honey, you lick it. You don't bite it, you don't drink it, it is like licking. So, then there are foods that you have to bite, nuts and all, you bite and eat. And there are certain things that you just swallow, like the medicinal pills. What do? You don't normally go to bite at them. You just follow it. So it is like that, the four types of food described. This is a minor thing, you know, that it could be further divided into 8 or 10, who knows. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु।